From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show, and we are in a remote location. So if you're watching it on YouTube, you can tell. In fact, I would suggest that you watch this one on YouTube because we are at Aggie Square, Connect Labs specifically within Aggie Square, and it is an incredible facility. It's an incredible building, and I'm going to describe it in a second and get some help from Monique Brown, who is running this facility. Monique is the co-founder of The Growth Factory. You've probably heard her on the show a few other times, and she's been working alongside me for the last several years trying to help entrepreneurs, not only with The Growth Factory, but with Haney Biz and all our angel investing and all the different events that we have done over the years. Monique is that person that really gives a lot more than she takes to the entrepreneurial community. And so I am proud to have her on the show with me today because we're in your new facility there.
Indeed. Here. Yeah, welcome.
Thank you. I am amazed. So I was in here the other day in one of your grand openings and got to tour around. And so when you walk in the door of this facility, first of all, it blows you away by the size of it. How many square feet is in this facility?
Yeah, so the development's about 1 million square feet.
Okay.
Across multiple buildings.
Multiple buildings, 1 million square feet. The one we're in is what, 400,000?
That's a good guess.
Yeah.
I should know that number. I'm working on it.
But yeah, so yeah, it is a big building. And the inside, let's talk about the inside of this building and then what its purpose is. And then we can kind of talk about like where it is within Sacramento and how it'll impact Sacramento. So it reminds me of like the nicest, let's call it co-working space that you've ever been into, like a WeWork, maybe even a little bit of Growth Factory feel, but really high tech, spacious. And I can imagine it being full of activity, but there's offices all over the place with glass. We can see into the offices and conference rooms. It is just an enormous, I guess, like office complex that's designed for community connection and so forth. So help me do it justice on my description of the interior and maybe what the purpose of the space is.
Yeah. So, well, Aggie Square is, I'll just start with where we are. So it's located on UC Davis's Sacramento campus, which is an 11-acre kind of parcel here in the Oak Park neighborhood kind of vicinity. And it's a development that was done by Wexford Science and Technology. So the development, the buildings are Wexford designed and built. There's the buildings that we're sitting in now, this is 300 Aggie Square. So they've built two of the buildings that are going to be part of this whole development that we're sitting in. So 200 Aggie Square is that way. And that is a lab tower. So you saw Connect Labs. So there's turnkey kind of lab space for health and life science companies, food and ag companies, anybody who's doing kind of science goes that way. And then here we are in 300 Aggie Square on this side, and this is an 8-story office and classroom side of the building. And so on this side with the Wexford Connect Labs in particular, we have that private office, dedicated desk, conference rooms, kitchen, you know, kind of space that's perfect for entrepreneurs, innovators, industry that wants to have a presence alongside UC Davis. So they might locate a team here. And it's also great for researchers who want to have lab and office space. So they'll take a little bit of both.
Yeah. And the other aspect that you didn't mention in terms of, I guess, partners is the venture capital community. When I was here the other day, I saw that you have partnerships with venture capitalists around, obviously around Sacramento, but beyond, that really look at the opportunities that come out of these inventions or these discoveries that happen within UC Davis.
Yeah.
It really is a chance to bring capital and expertise in order to take these fledgling companies or opportunities and turn them into something really, really special.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. I think we would agree that UC Davis is one of this region's like kind of world-class assets. So the talent that they house inside this university, the capability, the research that they're doing, and the companies that have spun out of the university over the years, really a tremendous regional asset. And what this development in particular does is build a space where the university has taken 60% of the space in these two buildings, which leaves 40% of the space for those industry and innovators and venture partners and capitalists and stuff to come alongside the university. And so it creates a unique place for there to be this intersection between all of that talent and research that the university has with industry, community, innovators. And, you know, from that, you can build some pretty compelling ventures. And that's the hypothesis, right? Is that that's what will happen here.
Yeah. So many companies spin out of UC Davis. And I think it's fair to say that the Growth Factory has been a little bit of a glue in investing into some of those companies that have spun out. But many companies that have spun out have decided not necessarily to stay at the very beginning, and so they end up being somewhere else.
Yep.
So Growth Factory has helped some, but why would you leave? If you are spinning out now, if you're spinning out of UC Davis with an idea, you're incubating it here in the lab space, in the wet lab space potentially, and you've got there's no reason to leave. You've got the incredible place to build your company and get it to a size where maybe you might outgrow the facility here, but you don't need to move somewhere else in order to build a company. It's all here.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's the hypothesis, is just like, you're absolutely right. Like, historically, we've lost a lot of talent and ventures to the Bay Area and beyond. You know, the kind of the pull was in the wrong direction, in my opinion, you know, but we didn't have an asset like this to capture that talent and keep them here. And so the hope is that by providing this infrastructure, you know, we have a place, and then it's our job, you know, like organizations and investors like the Growth Factory, you know, and others, it's our job to then bring capacity, bring capital, bring community into this space, because that's really the glue, right? Like, you need the place, but you have to fill it with the right people and partners. And so that's what we're working on. And I think that there's tremendous opportunity, but there's a lot of work ahead. And, you know, there's a lot of people who are rolling their sleeves up, and UC Davis has, you saw Don Taylor from UC Davis Health Ventures. He's in the building. Venture Catalyst is in the building. So UC Davis is bringing all the right people to the table. And now it's up to us, you know, to catalyze the rest.
One of the things that stands out to me as well is the cool factor associated with the design of the building, the color schemes and the modern way it's laid out, with a concrete floor that's polished and looks really cool, and then carpets sort of mixed in. It's got a cool factor, which I think would be different than the typical classroom setting that you might see in, or any other government building that you might see. This is built so that it's attractive in a way that makes you feel like you're at the place. Yeah.
Well, this is what Wexford does incredibly well. Claire Drummond was the lead on this, and she's a phenomenal, just phenomenal young talent who, you know, oversaw the development of this project, the design teams that they worked with, Smith Group and ZGF have had a hand in, you know, all of the finishes and stuff. But if you look at these projects, there's 17 of them across the country, you know, where they come alongside university, where Wexford comes alongside a university anchor like UC Davis to build these spaces, and they are incredible, all of them. I mean, I've had the opportunity now to go to two of the other sites. I look forward to seeing a few more, but without question, this is one of the reasons that they're such a compelling partner for universities, because they build spaces that function really well, but they also build spaces that you want to be in.
Yeah. So were the other two that you looked at similar in terms of, I guess, quality?
Oh, yeah. In terms of quality, absolutely. Varying in size, and it really depends on the geography and the university partner and the needs and stuff like that. But we just opened 4 MLK in Baltimore alongside University of Maryland Baltimore. And so they're a couple months ahead of us, and they're cranking right along and doing a great job there. And then I had the opportunity to visit our Phoenix location as well, in partnership with ASU, and they also have a community college located in the building. NIH is in that building. And so, again, really compelling spaces. And the thing that's really interesting about Wexford is they consistently build in what I would consider secondary markets. And they often build in communities that have been historically underserved. And so really, in addition to creating these like really innovative spaces where universities can partner and collaborate with industry and innovators, they're also fueling a local economy. So there's a huge economic development component and community development component to the work that they do. And that's a huge piece of what I'll be working on here, is how do we bridge that gap between this campus and the community that surrounds it? How do we invite that community in? How do we help the resources on this campus connect better with community, whether it's from a research standpoint or a health standpoint or an innovation standpoint? So
yeah, I'm going to circle right back to that. But I want to, one of the things that people may be trying to digest is, what is Wexford as a company? And they're, the way I understand it is they develop buildings like this, but there's also, and they call that the hardware side of things, right? This is great hardware, but they also have a software side, which is Connect Labs and the programs associated with that.
Yeah.
And those are the people and the way that we would interact with each other. So it's not just build a building and let it go. It's build a building, but put the right programming inside with Connect Labs. And are there other programs besides Connect Labs that are sort of part of the software?
Yeah. So the way that, that's, first of all, good job as usual. You've digested and synthesized things really quickly, and that's a great description. So the Connect Labs is still a place in the sense that it's the turnkey lab space and office space. And then the kind of the knowledge community is what encompasses a lot of the programs. And so they've got Connect Labs in 4 other locations now. So relatively newer developments that are including the Connect Labs piece, and programming at multiple locations where, again, looking at how do we amenitize the space with things that will help build capacity in the tenant community. So whether it's bringing in office hours with investors or, speaking engagements or founder forums or what have you, things that really build capacity and support the tenants in the work they're doing. But then also things like, food trucks or yoga or, Science Fridays or Bring Your Kid to Work Day or whatever that are really building community and relationships too.
Yeah. We have the motto, nobody builds a truly great company alone.
Yeah.
As you know, it's our saying. And you're not going to be alone here. There are going to be thousands of people here that are working in similar industries where they're discovering life science and just... Maybe we can walk through the type of industries that would be here, because to me, it's really high tech stuff that's gonna change the world.
Yeah, it is world changing stuff. I think that I'm peeling the onion back, right? And just learning, right? Like the incredible work that can be done here will be done here. And so I think that anybody can locate here, first of all. So it's not, you don't have to be in a certain industry to have space in Connect Labs. But who would really like, you know, want to be here, like has to be here, you know? And I think a couple things that are in the building that are really interesting. I think the hypothesis specifically behind this space and the partnership with UC Davis is that innovators can go from concept to clinical trials all in the same place. And so if you are in med device or therapeutics or, you know, intersecting with the healthcare system in any way or developing solutions for healthcare, is, you know, you have the ability to have a single bench or a single desk, get started, right? But then as you grow, the space can grow with you. But as you hit those key milestones and start to think about like, hey, we need access to, different clinical trials or what have you, you know, there are both departments in the building that can help you design your clinical trials, but there's also a health system like, you know, 100 steps that way, right, where you can actually, you know, get to the bedside, essentially. And so one example that I love is when you walk in the door downstairs, one of my favorite spaces in the building is the Tech Foundry. And that's the, you know, floor-to-ceiling glass when you walk in with all the 3D printers and that you can see it. It looks very futuristic. And one of the stories that they tell is, you know, their UC Davis Health, they operated on conjoined twins a couple years back, right? Okay. And this group, not yet here at Aggie Square, but this group was able to print a 3D model of the twins, including all the vasculature and everything ahead of surgery, so that the surgeons could really practice and map out, kind of their approach to maximize success, because obviously very complex situation. And so, you know, that kind of work.
Was it successful?
It was successful. Yeah. And now they're here. And again, they're just steps away from the UC Davis Health campus, right? Like, so it's that kind of work that can happen here.
Yeah. I'll talk a little bit now or ask a little bit about the location specifically. So it's Oak Park, and I'm from Placer County, so I'm not driving in and around this area all the time, but I know UC Davis Med Center is, right, they're a premier health provider within the region, world class. And even though we're in Oak Park, which might be considered an underserved area, you've already got this hospital medical facility right here. So where we are in this center of innovation is right next to the hospitals, right mm-hmm. next to the medical providers, the doctors and nurses and so on. So the proximity of just the regular world, you know, world-class doctor is right there to communicate with as well. That's got to be an enormous benefit that the world-class medical providers are right here next to people who are developing world-class innovation and maybe don't understand exactly how it goes into the actual practice of the doctor using it, but they've discovered a gene therapy or something else that is, you know, cutting edge, and you can have some real world, collaboration.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that, again, that's the hope, is that we'll see even more of that. And I think that with Venture Catalyst in the building and with UC Davis Health Ventures in the building and others, they have, you know, other departments in the building that can support. But the people who know how to help researchers emerge from the university and begin to commercialize their research are here. And then again, like bringing in, you know, investors like the Growth Factory, and we had New Path Ventures here during the grand opening and others like that, bringing that in alongside that now that the company has, you know, spun out or is spinning out of the university, to then bring in, you know, that the funds, but also hopefully, you know, the network of business leaders and executives that know how to build.
Can you describe Venture Catalyst real quick, and then also the fund and how they sort of help launch these companies?
Yeah, it's a good question. So UC Davis Health Ventures, and I don't want to misspeak. So UC Davis Health Ventures, I think, is just getting started and is looking at companies both within the UC Davis system, but they do entertain investments outside of the system. And I think they're really looking at things that could impact the health system, right?
Venture fund that makes investments into these startups.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Don Taylor is doing a great job leading that.
He told me they made their first investment.
They have made investments and they have also formed some really compelling partnerships already. So they have an agreement. UC Davis has signed an agreement with a South Korean group called Flan, and that is to hopefully serve as a soft landing spot for startups from South Korea that want to enter the U.S. market. And so that's the other thing that I think is really interesting for this space in particular are these international companies that want to enter the U.S. market. They really feel like California is a good place to land. And within California, Sacramento has a lot to offer. I think it's a very nice on-ramp into both California and the U.S. market. And we're seeing a lot of interest from delegations from both Europe and Asia in having space here and helping companies get plugged in here. So I think that's really interesting and compelling. And certainly having UC Davis Health Ventures in the building and looking at those opportunities is also a bit of a magnet for that. And then Venture Catalyst, you know, that team is amazing. I love that. Our event coming up May 28th, I'm co-hosting our first event with them, but they do a lot of kind of education and capacity building within the UC Davis ecosystem. So really helping the talent on campus, whether it's students or researchers, really move their enterprises forward.
So thinking about the sort of the intersection between entrepreneurship and tech, Aaron Anderson, our good friend, I know he teaches as part of the entrepreneurial group over there. They have the Big Bang Theory. They have different things that they do around entrepreneurship and educating entrepreneurship. Is that something that is staying in Davis, or does some of that come here?
Yeah.
How does that work together with this?
Yeah, it's a good question. Both.
Okay.
And so Big Bang is tonight, and Nikki Peterson and team run that, and that's alongside the Graduate School of Management. I believe that majority of that will stay on main campus. Aaron Anderson runs the Student Startup Center, undergraduates, and just had a phenomenal showcase with 13 student teams, had about 650 people show up for that. He's doing fantastic work, and I would love to have Aaron over here full time, but I think he has, we're working on the potential for, you know, are there parts of the program or semester programs that can also take place here?
Yeah, I have to imagine that being exposed to what's happening in this facility could be very inspiring to people who are maybe going through a class, maybe building their first business within the classroom setting. But seeing now here more real world, these are the people who are actually putting money into businesses, and risk is being taken in order to, you know, you got to rent an office space. It's not free. Yeah. So it's kind of like the next level.
Yeah. Well, and he's launched these really cool programs called Hacking For, and he's done a Hacking For Healthcare, Hacking For Climate, and is looking at, I think in the fall, a Hacking For the Neighborhood. And so these are really innovative, hands-on problem-first programs. And what I mean by that is that students, instead of like designing a solution in search of a problem, right, they're really doing the upfront work to understand problems in healthcare, problems, you know, with climate tech in general, problems in the neighborhood. Like, where are there meaningful problems to solve, and then how might we solve them? And that's the hacking for, like, how do we build solutions that address these problems in a compelling way? But a huge piece of that is that customer discovery and problem discovery, which involves getting off campus, having those conversations. And so here, obviously, hacking for healthcare directly aligned with the work that's being done here. But again, going back to the location in the Oak Park community, if you think hacking for the neighborhood, and we're thinking about, you know, workforce development, access to healthcare, you know, equitable, you know, access to education or whatever it happens to be, like the problems that they're looking to address, you know, this neighborhood is a great resource and partner to, like, think about, like, what are some of the most compelling problems that we continue to be challenged by, and how might these students really partner with community members to begin to design, you know, impactful solutions.
So let's talk about how it's changing the neighborhood a little bit. So here we are in Oak Park. You've already got the business community feeds off of all these employees that are down here as doctors and nurses and janitors and that mm-hmm. kind of thing, already a part of this. And so it feeds local, I don't know, eating and services and things like that. You're talking about taking it a step further, where the people that live in these neighborhoods, they actually are invited in to...
Oh, absolutely.
Be a part of seeing, you know, come in and kick tires and imagine how they might fit into this ecosystem.
Yeah. I mean, they're a critical element, right? Like the community is a critical element of our innovation ecosystem. And it's like, how do we open the doors and provide on-ramps is the question. And part of this project, so in addition to that, which I think is huge, just again, being able to, anybody can walk through the door and take a look at that tech foundry and say, what is that? And how do I learn about it? Right. You know, and that in and of itself, I think is fantastic. But, you know, as this project was being developed, you know, there were some other agreements and commitments that were made to the community by the city, by Wexford and Wexford's partners like Whiting Turner, who were the builders mm-hmm. on the project, and by UC Davis. And they've done a phenomenal job to date in fulfilling those commitments, you know, in terms of like employment targets for those that built this development, you know, and where they came from community, and how many jobs were created and how many people from the surrounding neighborhoods were employed in those jobs. Housing subsidies to help people stay in their homes as, you know, the development, you know, goes on. The hope is, you know, rising tide lifts all boats. Obviously, sometimes there's concerns around, you know, the increase in housing costs and how that affects existing okay. residents. So the you know, the city has stepped up and provided, in partnership with some local nonprofits, housing subsidies and stuff like that. And then, you know, again, like educational sessions and different kind of programming to invite and partner with community for use of space. And Wexford has agreed to a lot of different, you know, kind of contributions as a part of that. One of them being providing space at no cost for community members up to a certain dollar amount. And so again, like, we don't want this to feel like there's a barrier. It's brand new. It's beautiful. And, you know, but it's not exclusive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have to imagine there's people that don't want change, of course, but to build something this beautiful that creates this much opportunity, it's just a gem for the neighborhood. And you talked about jobs, right? We all know how important it is to provide jobs and or at least opportunity for really good employment. So I can imagine, like, the construction is going on in different buildings and so on. You can see the construction jobs. Besides construction, what other types of jobs are going to be generated or are being generated with this project?
Yeah, I think that's a work in progress. But one of the things that our partners at UC Davis, Sumika Hong in particular has led some job talks in partnership with UC Davis HR to say, how do you apply for opportunities, you know, here at Aggie Square, at the health campus or what have you? And so it could be anything from administrative to, food service, janitorial, research assistant. So we're also looking at some workforce development programs in partnership with other nonprofits and community leaders and UC Davis to say, how do we train people to be, you know, lab assistants? You know, how do we get people exposed to some of the more technical jobs in the building and, you know, help them determine whether or not that would be of interest or a fit for them? And then how do we train them so that, you know, these, not all of these jobs, even in, you know, some of the labs, not all of them require 4-year degrees. You know, there are, you know, some really compelling and critical jobs that with good training, you know, people can get started much sooner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you and I have talked over the years about the backyard advantage. You know, I think we sort of co-created the backyard advantage concept, most connected community in the world for local entrepreneurs based around this culture of love. And so the ecosystem that's being built here around UC Davis and Wexford, it's like building from the inside out. It's building a strong ecosystem, a world-class ecosystem, that's also part of the rest of Sacramento, which is really cool, which is the sort of the backyard advantage. I saw the other night here, you have the Sac State people here. There's people from all over our region converging here to connect up. And there was definitely a lot of love in the room. And so I can feel that culture emanating from this building, from this space, and from the almost like an extension of some of the things that already feel good about Sacramento happening here. Not, oh, that's Davis. No, it's just strengthening Davis within Sacramento and connecting all the way out to the outskirts of the region. Really cool. But thinking about building the most connected community in the world, you're also connected to Arizona State University, University of Maryland, and all the different things that are going on in the other Wexford properties that are similar, really tying that system to a much larger group of innovators. Maybe describe what the vision is for connecting those dots, yeah. I guess, or connecting those clusters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, thank you. That's a great question. And it's one of the things that I'm most excited about because, I think the backyard advantage is like, I think it's the best thing that, you know, we've really created in the last couple of years. That message and the realization of that message means a lot to a lot of people. And it's something that I think Sacramento is uniquely positioned to demonstrate as a starting point. I think it can spread beyond Sacramento, but I think Sacramento is the perfect place for that to be modeled. And it has definitely taken on a life of its own. And this is a huge addition to that. But you're right. It's also a gateway then to expanding the backyard. And I think that what we're already seeing, and I've been here now doing this for about 2 months, so I feel like hopefully 80% of what I'm saying is correct. I'm like working on it. But what I'm most excited about is like, how do we then take these knowledge communities in these different geographies and start to understand where the intersections are? And so I'll give an example. UC Davis has a mouse biology program here that is world class. It is world class. And I had the opportunity to meet the team the other day, and they were sharing some of the work that they do. And they were talking about how they last year served 700 clients. 60 of those were from UC Davis. So that means that, you know, 600 plus of their clients were researchers and scientists from around the world who are coming to Davis to access the work that they do. Now you think about, I said, hey, like, we should tell people about this, right? You know, it's like, think about this other Wexford communities and all of the scientists and researchers that might be able to benefit that may not know or may not have as ready access to that program. If we can elevate that and share that, and they, you know, they have examples of other startups that they've worked with and how they've supported, you know, the advancement of their research so that they can build their companies. You know, if we demonstrate that and elevate that, then we can start to plug in, you know, researchers from other communities into this really cool resource that we have here, but vice versa, right? Like, well, you know, there's a new development going up in Charlotte that will be landing an industry partner called EARCAD, and it's like one of the largest surgical training centers, you know, in the world, right? Like, it's their first North American location, right? And we'll think about, like, what might that bring to, you know, UC Davis Health or someone in Sacramento or what have you, right? Like, there's just these intersections that I think can be built between these geographies that begin to tie us together as a country, as a backyard advantage for the U.S., not just Sacramento, so...
Yeah, it's really exciting, and I'm wondering, with the excitement around artificial intelligence and just the rapid speed that technology is hitting every part of our life, especially keeping people healthy and safe and making our food great, the health side of things, intersecting with the fact that we are becoming more organized in the way we are working together, right? So the people are learning how to work together better. This is a ideal example of people working together with the hardware and the software and connecting up all over the U.S. I'm wondering, is there a way to describe a vision or a BHAG of what it could look like? And maybe even the company has that kind of thing right now, but sometimes it's hard to predict, especially when you sprinkle in technology acceleration onto this challenge of connecting these communities. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, how fast and how big could it get? How many lives can be saved?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think about that a lot, and you know, especially with. Obviously, I think we all think about AI all the time in lots of different ways, but, you know, there's a lot of conversation around AI as a displacer, as an accelerator, as a, you know, disruptor and stuff. And I think that all of those things are true. And I think as people, we're still figuring out I think we will be figuring out how to use that for a long time. But if you imagine kind of figuring out how to optimize everything with technology, then the amount of time and space that frees up for people to care for each other, to connect, to imagine, to create, right? Like, it just is so amplified. Yeah. And if we can build systems that are efficient and connected and, you know.
I'm imagining something that's discovering the new gene that does this or that in Sacramento.
Right.
And then, something kind of similar is happening in Baltimore.
Yep.
Wow. And those could talk to each other. Right. Even if the machines could talk to each other, let alone the people. It's what? How does that just accelerate
discovery
of how to make life better?
Yeah.
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 It's exciting. Well, okay. So what did I not ask you? I really want to make sure this is your place. This is your baby. And, you know, so I'm sort of leading the conversation just through like my eyes and my ears of what I've seen, but I don't know what I don't know.
Well, let's see. I think what are you working on and how can I help?
Oh, yes. We've coined that phrase because that's really what the backyard advantage and the love is. Love isn't just a fuzzy feeling. It's a verb. So how do you get those conversations going? And that's where we got the question, what are you working on and how can I help? Because a lot of times, either we're shy or we forget to ask that type of question, but yet deep down, we all want to help each other, yeah. but we never get to that conversation. Yeah. So many other times we're talking about, might be small talk, or I'm bragging about what I'm doing, or you're bragging about what you're doing, or what somebody else is doing. It's like, well, wait a minute, what can we do together?
Yeah. So I think that that is the only thing. And I would just say that, you know, the same as always, right? Like, how can we continue to leverage the assets that we have to support each other's mission, work, the companies that we're working to serve and stuff like that. And so this is no different. And I think that when new things happen, it can be exciting. I think it can also be kind of scary for, you know, people who are working in the ecosystem, you know, and Wexford is really, really intentional when they build in communities. They're like, we are not replacing, we are, you know, amplifying, we are expanding, we are inviting, right? And so this is by no means a replacement of anything else that's being done. I know, for example, you know, Brandon and team have opened another space, the Urban Hive, on J Street. Beautiful, right?
Like, Brandon Weber. Yeah, I haven't been to the new place yet.
You know, and fantastic, great place for, you know, all sorts of companies to go and build. It is, we need both, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so I just use that as one example. It's like, we need both.
We're not competition, right? Is what you're saying.
Like, how can we help you? Mm-hmm. You know, how can we invite you in? How can we help companies that the growth factory is working on? How can we, you know, when's the next Mark Tank? You know, mm-hmm. let's have it here, that kind of thing. And then, you know, as you see, you know, companies come through your pipeline, it's like, you know, letting them know, hey, that might be a good place for you to go and build, you mm-hmm. know, depending on the company. And
actually,
like
I heard somebody talking about some special you guys have for space rental.
Special right
it's
now.
Like you get 3 months. Do you
that's
get 3 months free or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, Travis's grand opening special. So yeah, no, come talk to me.
I love it. Yeah. Well, folks, Monique Brown is working on something that is really game-changing for Sacramento here with Aggie Square and with the Wexford Company, and we're really lucky to have this. And I know this is making an impact, but it's just the beginning. This is going to put Sacramento on the map in such a positive way. And thank you for helping bring this whole thing together.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the backyard advantage, and of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. Here at the Haney Biz, the Mark Haney Show, and the Growth Factory, we're never above you, we're never below you, always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in this segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.